Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rowlett's Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rowlett's, and I'd like to invite you to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us on a Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study, where we simply, right now we're going through the Bible looking at different characters in the Bible, and I've been enjoying that very much. I really like to be able to look at the people that were in the Bible and see how that they were all flawed people. They were people who weren't necessarily kings and queens, but the average common people of that day, and how that God uses average regular people in a tremendous way to impact our society, to impact our country. And a lot of these people you may not have heard very much of, but they still were important in God's plan for redemption and God's plan of bringing about salvation to everybody that He can. And I want to encourage other Christians. I want to encourage you today and remind you that even though the world may not know your name may not ever be put up on a marquee in Times Square in New York City, but you are still important to the kingdom of God. You're still important in God's plan. As a matter of fact, you are a necessary part of the puzzle. I want to take just a moment and wish happy birthday to Miss Erica Bruton on Thursday the 17th. Happy birthday, Erica. I call her Big E, but if you saw her, you'd wonder about that because she's just little bitty. But happy birthday to Erica. And then several anniversaries, and I thank God for these good anniversaries. Monday the 21st, Chris and Lori Meredith are celebrating a wedding anniversary. And also the day after that, Tuesday the 22nd, we have two couples celebrating. Danny and Carol King are celebrating, and Mike and Hazel Smith. And I love these folks. These are great, great, solid people, and they love the Lord and love to worship with these folks. And I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better. I've often heard it said God's people are not perfect people, and I understand that. I agree with that. But I also know when it comes to who I want to hang around with, I'd rather hang around with God's people as I would anybody else in this world, because we all understand we're not perfect. We understand we're not flawed. One thing I really enjoy about Rowlett's here is the fact that have we ever claimed to be professionals. You know, I wonder sometimes about churches that put on that professional face. I understand what they're doing. We want to do everything that we can with excellence because we're doing it for the Lord God Almighty. But I also understand there are opportunities where that we might appear flawed to the outside world by following the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're going to ask me a choice, if you're going to say, well, Dwayne, I want you to choose to look professional or follow the Holy Spirit, I want to follow the Holy Spirit every single time. And that's what we do here at Rowlett's. I love it when folks follow the Lord. We've kind of got an open understanding that at any point during our service, the altar is open. If somebody feels like the Lord wants them to come down and pray during the offering, that's absolutely fine. We're not worried about an offering. We worry about following the Lord. That's really what we want to do. I love men and women that are willing to put pride and self on the back burner and allow God to be in the forefront of their lives. Now, I want to share with you a little bit about a gentleman that we looked at a couple of Wednesday nights ago out of the book of Luke. And in Luke chapter 2, you're going to find the wonderful story about a man named Simeon and how that Simeon sees God's salvation. So I want to share with you these verses. Then we'll go back and we'll talk about them for just a minute. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, is where we'll begin. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, A sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Can you imagine going back in that day, and this man Simeon, the Bible tells us that Simeon was there in Jerusalem. He was a man in Jerusalem, and he was just and he was devout. How wonderful is it that the Bible would say that about an individual? You know, it would mean a lot if folks were out there in the community and they talked about you with other people and they said, you know, I know that brother so-and-so down here, he's a man that's just and devout. That ought to mean a lot to a person. Reputation is a hard thing to earn. It quickly can be torn apart and it's hard to earn. But we know that it would be great if people would say that about you in your own personal life. If where you did business, people said about you, you were just and devout. What is it that you think about when you hear a man described as just? I think about the fact that he loves justice. He loves truth. He loves fairness. He loves for things to be done in an equal way. He doesn't want to see anybody discriminated against or held back against, but he likes for things to be done fairly. He wants to see everybody get just what they deserve. He wants justice in this world. I believe Simeon was that kind of a man. He didn't want to see anybody treated differently. I believe that when a person came into the temple and a poor man came in and a rich man came in, Simeon would have been one to treat both of them just the same, just as children of God. And you know what, friend? We ought to be the same way in our churches today. Everybody that comes through the doors of a church ought to be welcomed in the same way, whether they're a mighty lawyer or a congressman or a senator, or whether it's the garbage man, whether it's a factory worker, whether it's a homemaker, any of those things, they ought to be treated the same. Jesus died for all. Jesus died for whosoever. I'm one of those whosoever kind of guys. I believe that salvation is offered full and free to everybody that'll call upon the name of the Lord. I believe that today. I believe Simeon was a man that believed the same thing. He was just in his actions. Let us be challenged today to be just in our actions, that we might treat everybody fairly, that we might not play favorites in this world. One of the worst things a preacher can do is to play favorites in his own congregation. I know there'll be times when you have people in your congregation, they're there for you every minute, they're supporting you, they're telling you all the good things you're doing, and they're patting you on the back, and there'll be others on the other side of the room and they'll run you down. They won't be there when you need them. They can't ever help out and do anything. They won't be there when you need them to be there. But I'll tell you what you've got to do through the grace of God. You've got to love the one as much as you love the other. Every church ought to be full of love and overlooking the things that are flawed in our congregations today. We will not build the church of Jesus Christ by playing favorites. We must have justice. And Simeon was a man who was just and devout. Now, I like that. I want you to think about in your own life, in that little circle that you run in. You know, we have so many different acquaintances out there, but generally we only see the same 15 or 20 people every week. And as they come in and out of the vision of our lives, that we know there are certain people that we understand are devout. When I hear about devout, I understand it means devoted. I understand that it means they are focused on God Almighty. That's what it means to me. And I believe that's exactly the way the Bible is using it here to describe this man. He was devout. Friends, listen, if there's one compliment that can be paid to you throughout the course of your life, let it be that you were a devout individual. That you were a person who wanted to be in church, you wanted to be around God's people, you wanted to be involved in the things of God, and you were faithful to the book. That you studied it, you read about it, you made it a part of your life. That is what becomes of being devout. And this man, Simeon, he was just and devout. What a compliment. That goes beyond what man might say about you because it's in God's holy word. We cannot refute that. It cannot be disputed. There cannot be any debate upon it. When the Bible says it, that nails it down. That ends it. It's over, friend. And Simeon was just and devout. Now, I like how verse 25 finishes out. It says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, I asked my good friend, I've got a couple of good friends here at Rallets. I asked Miss Melinda Burgess, we were having this discussion one Wednesday night, and I said, Miss Melinda, what is a noun? And very quickly, she's a teacher there at Memorial, so very quickly she said, that is a person, place, or a thing. Now, I want you to understand that when you talk about this consolation of Israel, that word consolation is a noun. That's a person. That's a person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. When you think about someone being consoled, what is it that you think of? I think about maybe somebody that's lost a loved one that is going through a sickness. They're going through some sort of a trial. Maybe they've lost a job. Maybe they've lost a relationship. And when I go to console them, I want to put my arms around them. And I want to explain to them that I love them, that I'm here for them, that I'm ready to listen, that I want to take an opportunity to try to help them through that hard time. Friend, the consolation of Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has come not only to console Israel, but to console all of us who were grafted in to Israel. Do you understand today that if you've been circumcised in your heart, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have become an Israelite? You have become an heir of the promise of Abraham. And all of God's covenants that He gave to Israel are your covenants now, and you have become a child of the King. You know what I wish would happen? I wish a lot of Christians would start to lift their heads up instead of walking around all day staring at the ground. I think we ought to lift our heads up and have a little bit of pride. You don't see princes and princesses of this world walking around all dejected and falling out and their mouths hanging open in depression. No, because they understand there's something special about them. They are a prince or a princess. They are sons and daughters of the King. Listen, Christian, today we've got more to hold our head up about than the King of Dubai or all these Egyptian pharaohs had. We've got a greater King that is our Father. And we are heirs of the promise, the consolation of Israel. The Bible says of Simeon that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Of all these great compliments that have been paid to Simeon, I think this one is probably the greatest. How wonderful is it for a man or woman to be said that the Holy Spirit was upon them? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is a great, great teacher. I believe the Holy Spirit is a great, great comforter. And I believe the Holy Spirit seals us for salvation. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and I think that caused his life to be quite different than it would have been if he wasn't. For you see, everything the Holy Spirit comes in contact with, it has an effect upon. You cannot hang around the Holy Spirit and not be impacted by Him. He's going to start to change things in your life. He's going to start to do things in your heart. And you cannot stay the same way that you were if you allow the Holy Spirit to influence you. You know what's tragic, though? A lot of folks that'll sit through Sunday after Sunday. You know, I know folks, I bet you they haven't come down to an altar and prayed in 25 years. I bet that's true of a lot of folks in our churches today. Now, I wonder, maybe they think the occasion has never come up. But really? Over that amount of time, they've never met a lost person that need to be prayed for? Well, I can pray for them at home. I don't have to go down that altar. Really? What would it do for the lost people in that congregation to see a man or a woman come down and pray by the altar? Do you think it has an effect upon them? Yes. Most certainly it does. Faith builds faith. When you display faith in the areas of your life, it has an effect on not only the saved people around you, but on the lost people as well. Until they see that you've got something that'll make you come down to an altar and bow your head and pray to God, they're not believing what's actually happened in your heart. Simeon had the Holy Spirit upon him. Verse 26 says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he had been given a promise. He'd been told about something wonderful that was going to happen in his life. And the Holy Spirit had told him, Simeon, there's going to come a day as you're going about your normal everyday business. Now, I don't know what he did there in the temple. I know he was just and devout, so I know he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. I know he was probably busy about the temple. My guess is every time the doors were open that he was there. He was probably a man that did a lot of work around there. And I wonder if he didn't wake up day after day with a sort of sense of security. He said, until I see this come to pass, I know I'm not going to leave this earth. I know I'm going to wake up in the morning if I didn't see it today. And so as he went about his business, I wonder how much a shock it was to him. I wonder how much it must have affected his psyche whenever Mary and Joseph came walking in. And the Holy Spirit began to work in his heart. And he began to say to himself, This is it. Today is the day. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what all my hopes and my dreams have been focused upon for so long. And finally, today, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass just as God promised me. Just as God told me it would happen, it's coming to pass. Friends, I promise you this. I'd like to report that everything that God has said would happen is going to happen. Everything that He told us 4,000 years ago to Abraham, 2,000 years ago to those in the New Testament, all those things have come to pass. And guess what? He told us that one day He's sending the Lord Jesus back again, and that He's coming in power. He's coming in the clouds just as He was taken up, so He will return. Friend, that promise is good today, and many of us are waiting. I know I am. We're waiting for that day that He'll be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And I believe there are some that are born now that won't see death till Christ returns, whether it be in the clouds, where it be through the Holy Spirit into man's heart. What a promise that He'd been given. And it came to pass. And the Bible says He came by the Spirit into the temple. I believe this man went by the Spirit in a whole lot of places. I believe this man allowed the Holy Spirit. You know what I want in my life? I'm going to be honest with you. I really hope I can get to a point that I let the Holy Spirit do everything I can to guide me in my life. I want Him to be able to help me pick out what pair of socks to wear that day. I want the Holy Spirit to show me what kind of toothpaste to buy. I want the Holy Spirit to tell me whether to turn left or right when I come out of my driveway. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit like this man was. I want our churches to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'd like to see men of God that have been standing in the pulpits that maybe it's been so long since they allowed it to happen, they don't remember what it was like, but I wish that something would breathe a little revival into them, and they begin to be led by the Holy Spirit and come out of that pulpit and shake somebody's hand, or maybe even, oh Lord, help them. They might raise their voice on a Sunday morning, or they might clap their hands, or I wish somebody in a congregation might stand up and give a testimony. I wish that the churches today would be led by the Holy Spirit. What a difference it'll make in our worship. What a difference it'll make in our world if just the churches would be led by the Spirit. Simeon was led by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for Him according to the custom of the law, they was there to be circumcised and given over to God. Simeon took it up in his arms. Friend, do you realize what's happening right here? Simeon is holding baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, being held in the hands of a man. The one that was going to be bruised and striped and beaten and spit upon and cursed at was here in the form of a little baby. God came that day. Simeon took Him up in his arms. And look what he did. He blessed God. He wasn't worried about Mary or Joseph. He wasn't worried about anybody else in the temple that day. It didn't matter to him who showed up. It didn't matter to him what else was going on. Do you know why it is you should go to church this Sunday? It's in order to bless God. It's in order to give God a blessing. Now, I've got a son that I love dearly. And he's got to the age now, he's not much on giving old dad a hug. I have to pretty much wrestle him down and get a hug, and that's getting harder to do. He's getting to be a stout feller. And it's a blessing, though, when I do get that hug. Now, here's what's more of a blessing. When something happens and he comes to me voluntarily to give me a hug, that blesses me. How can you bless the Father? Don't make Him have to wrestle you down to get some worship. Don't make Him have to chase you around the church in order to get you to call out His name. You bless God by giving Him the worship that He deserves. Giving Him proper place in your life. Giving a proper understanding. Acknowledging who He is and what He's done. Yes, you can bless God. And Simeon said, Lord, now You are letting Your servant depart in peace according to Your word. Now, friend, listen. God's word matters in this world. What God says still counts. And God told Simeon it would happen, and Simeon saw it come to pass. I don't think Simeon lived long after this. There was no need to. I think it would just be, you know, just a matter of time before he went on to be with his Lord. Everything that God had promised him, he saw happen. Verse 30 says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Isn't that wonderful? You know what it kind of reminds me of? Kind of stirred in my heart a little bit. I just want to share some verses with you, and then I want us to have a word of prayer. But I want you to really listen to these words, because they mean something. They're real. If you want to follow up on them, I want to encourage you to do that. Just open your Bible up to the book of John and look at the first five verses. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Friend, listen, there came a time in this world God took on a bodily form. The very minute that baby Jesus was born, He was as old as His father and older than His mother, because He was simply an extension of God Himself. And Jesus came down to make Himself poor, that we might be rich. That's the Christmas story. And I want to encourage you to make room for Jesus in your heart, to be just and devout as Simeon was, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the consolation of Israel. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Father God, we come to You thanking You, dear Lord, for a Christmas season. Had it not been for the birth of Jesus, all of our birthdays would simply be 1 year closer to death, 1 year closer to separation, one year closer to judgment. But because of Christmas and the birth of Jesus, every birthday that a Christian has, we get 1 year closer to glory. We get 1 day closer to heaven. We get 1 day closer to those promises that You've made us. And so thank You, dear God, for Christmas. Thank You, dear God, for Jesus. And Jesus, thank You for dying for our sins. In Your holy and Your precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend. From Rowlett's Baptist Church.